So about the spit sound, here's the thing.
Wait. Define spit sound.
If I hear the spit sound from behind me,
okay,
that is woefully insufficient, sir. There's a drawer right there. It's got a bottle.
Oh, okay. See, I got confused. I thought you were saying that, like, when a guy spits on me, the back of the head is not where it's supposed to go. It's supposed to go in the face.
For the record, I never want anybody to spit in my face.
Okay.
Ever.
That's another way we're different. Happy 150 episodes, Heather.
Happy 150 episodes, baby. Oh my God. That's how we're celebrating.
That's how. Oh my gosh. This is a Star Wars podcast, y'all, not a sex podcast, but you wouldn't know the difference with us.
Adorable that you feel that you can state that at this point in time.
Yeah. Right?
The Star Wars podcast is our excuse to get together on microphones and talk about sex.
Oh, God. Well.
Especially this episode.
Girl.
Yeah.
Girl, of all the episodes to land
just
on.
Saying,
good Lord.
What are the animators trying to do to me with fucking not Asmorgan. Ugh, no. Visago. There we go.
Visago.
Visago's arms. Hello.
I mean, Asmorgan, I wouldn't say no, but...
I would, but only because of the aforementioned spit issue. He has a perpetual drool situation.
Yeah.
Like, it's not because of his physicality, it's because of who he is as a person. This is the guy who tried to buy Hera, A. And B, the hygiene is clearly not there.
I actually thought it was kind of hot when he did the double cross, but we'll have to, or betrayal,
we'll
whatever
to
it was.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it. I can't even start with fucking Hondo. This is gonna be one of them episodes, man.
Where we reveal
a little too much about our inner work. You know what? I'm gonna minimize this.
That's what's
happening here. Is I've got you maximized, and that's never good for our production. Because when I can see your face, I'm gonna talk to it. Okay. So hey, do you wanna intro the show? We should probably do that.
Yeah? Let's do it.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the 150th episode of Dark Side Divas.
What?
The podcast where a woman and a gay man express their opinions about Star Wars. My name is Stephanie. I'm the woman half of the show. You'd think I'd have like a cool intro prepared for the 150th episode, but I don't. I suck.
That was good enough for me. Good enough is passing, and passing is good enough for this podcast.
D is for diploma. All right.
Right. Hey, everybody. I'm Chris. I'm that homo pirate Jedi sexual.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephanie,
huh?
You lied to me. I knew I liked you.
Yeah. That's right after you hear the spit sound.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what that is. Okay.
You said you would bring the lube.
You lied to me. Anyway, I have a quick thing I want to talk about before we get into it today. Do you have anything?
I have a thing too.
Okay. What's your thing?
Because my thing
is scolding the listeners. What's your thing?
Oh, mine is too. What a coinkydink.
Oh shit. Okay.
Mine's really, really quick.
Okay.
I got two really weird comments that I don't really understand.
Okay.
I'm going to assume good faith. But a couple people were like, but what about this? What about that? So two episodes ago, I was discussing like the differences between subjectivity and objectivity. Like, for example,
right.
I didn't like that show versus that show sucked.
Right. Yeah. These are very clearly easily defined differences.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple people were giving me comments like, what if this, what if that, what if that, what about, blah, blah, blah. So let me clarify something. If I say Radiohead is my favorite band of all time,
mm-hmm.
I'm stating a subjective opinion.
Right.
If somebody, and I tell that to Steph, if somebody asks Steph, hey, Steph, what is Chris's favorite band? She would say
Radiohead.
Yeah. And that's a fact, because I did, in fact, say that.
Correct.
Is that hard to understand?
I get it. I was the one who detailed the difference in the definition between these two terms last time. Facts and opinions. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. What's going on? What B is it?
No, there was some people giving me like some weird comments. I wasn't sure if they were complimentary or insulting. Part of this, y'all, is that I'm going through a lot of brain chemistry changes. I'm changing. My body is changing.
That's a thing, guys. There's this whole other puberty that happens when you turn 42.
It's true, y'all.
It's actually true.
But yeah, no, my brain chemistry is changing. So my patience is like really thin for some reason. And, you know, as I said during the pre-show of this podcast, because we record these live, we have Patreon. Patreon.com/divaspodcast. For $5 a month, you can watch us talk about really gross shit. But because of the Bad Batch episode and some other nerd things that are happening that are really cool, our communities are complaining, because that's what they do. They complain constantly. They don't celebrate. And it's just like, it's getting really annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just getting really annoyed generally. I'm just like, you know what? I'm gonna go watch Ice Melt. You know, it's like that mentality. So no, I'm unable to understand if someone is trying to insult me or not right now, and that's kind of weird because I'm usually good at picking that up.
I think that's very kind of you to be like, no, this is on me. This is on my brain chemistry. I'm not able to understand. I think people are just fucking rude.
Oh, okay. Tell me about that.
So, quick note to our listeners, okay? We love interacting with y'all on socials. Ignore all the complaining that we've been doing. The 99% of you are fucking brilliant, and we love interacting with y'all on the TikTok and the Twitter and Instagram, everywhere, okay? We love hearing from y'all. I love getting the DMs. I'm slow to respond because there's a lot of you, but I do get to you when I can. We love interacting with y'all. However, there are certain subjects that are not to be commented on. There are certain, like, I know y'all, like, here on this podcast, Chris and I have been friends for over 20 years, okay? So we talk to each other in a certain way, and you guys listen to us for hundreds of hours, and so you feel like you're in on this repartee, and to an extent, you are, and we appreciate that, but our bodies are never okay to comment on.
Oh.
On social media, okay? Not even if you think you're being complimentary, not even if you think it's like a fun, dirty joke between friends or something, and definitely not if you're trying to be insulting. Our bodies, any part of our biological functions, any part of our physical appearance, any of that, that's not okay to comment on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's not okay to comment on that on anybody. Certainly not publicly on social media. You should never comment on anyone's body who is not explicitly asking you to and whose fluids you have not consensually, adultingly tasted. Okay?
God.
TLDR, y'all don't know me like that.
Yeah.
Okay? So do not comment on how my body might be reacting to a certain Star Wars episode.
Oh, right, that.
Yeah. That's gross. That's borderline harassment. The kindest thing I can do to you in those situations is ignore you. If you keep doing it, I will take further action. Because bodies are not okay to comment on. Period. Okay?
Yeah, yeah. Now, I would say something like that to Steph, but that's different.
but not publicly, you wouldn't. Because you understand that I have a certain level of dignity, even though we are who we are. You know where those boundaries are. You wouldn't be, like, calling out my labia on fucking Twitter, okay?
I love that word, by the way, labia. That's a good word.
It's a good word. But no, it's... It's just not okay. It's not okay to make people feel icky. It's just not. And I understand. I am a woman on the internet. I am a woman on the internet who talks about multiple nerd fandoms. So I get a certain degree of negative commentary from the more charming sides of the fandoms. But when my own damn listeners, who are supposed to be like in our corner, on our side, make the same kind of, the same flavor of comment.
Yeah.
That's not okay. Like, you're in that same box. Anyway, long story short, people have been icking me out on the social media lately, and it's not okay.
Yeah, yeah. I don't get it. I don't understand. Like, So there's this like this really awesome tool that people who hire can use now. It, you know, when you apply for a job and you submit to a background check, there's apps now that can like that can find your social media account and like look at your history. So if you're like fucking rude or gross or something like that, it comes up.
Yeah.
And I have to be like, so, you know, you're kind of an asshole on social media, so we're not going to hire you.
Like, we don't trust your behavior.
Yeah. You see this comment you made on a TikTok where you're hitting on a woman. She clearly doesn't want to be hit on. Yeah, we're not going to work with you. You know, like people exactly. like you gotta be a little smarter about how you interact with people online. A good guideline, call me crazy, the golden rule. Treat people the way you want to be treated.
Don't say anything to anybody on the internet that you would not say to their face.
Right.
If you think that you would look at my face and say something, I want you to think again.
Yeah.
Because that's not true. I'm scary, and that's on purpose.
Yeah, right. Well, let's talk about something amazing and wonderful and positive. Steph, we're already over 650,000 downloads of our show.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, and we're 150 episodes in.
And which is fucking mind-blowing. I don't even know how to math that, but there it is. Like, numbers just keep marching forward, man, and if you keep recording podcasts, eventually you'll get to numbers like 150.
Yes.
Fucking crazy.
Mother has returned. I'm wearing her shirt right now. Asajj Ventress is on my face. Or on my face. I wish.
She's on your chest.
On my chest. Also, I wish. And also, I did the best thing ever this week, Steph.
What'd you do?
I got under Charles from Gold Squadron Gay Skin so bad.
Oh, no.
I've won.
Pretty sure he wins because you're name-checking him on our podcast.
No, that's fine. No,
okay.
That's
okay.
Fine.
How did you win?
By the time he has heard this episode, he has been emotionally and spiritually destroyed, and he is now listening to my victory lap, and I love it. You'll have to listen to For Light and Dice to figure out what happened, what I did to him. But let's just say there are two guest appearances on an upcoming episode. He got to hear the episode before it came out yesterday, and his emotional reaction was amazing.
Special guest, very, very special guest.
Very special. So yeah, y'all have to check out that episode to know what I'm talking about. But
it's 'cause it's me. That's why I'm harping on the special guest.
Yeah, Steph is one of them. That's a spoiler.
Yeah.
A spoiler. Oh my god, you're spoiling the episode for me. Oh my god. So anyway.
Everybody spoils all episodes now, even the fucking StarWars.com account will spoil
episodes.
Okay,
that's the last thing I want to talk about before we jump into Rebels. We've talked about spoilers a lot, Steph, but holy fuck. I'm getting caught up on X-Men 97. This is Tuesday. This is not even before Bad Batch released its new episode. In a commercial that is playing before I watch the X-Men, it's like, don't forget to watch Bad Batch, yellow lightsaber.
So, and why do we have to do the commercials?
Well, honestly, I don't mind the commercials so much because it reminds me, oh shit, right, I need to watch that show too because there's so much content on Disney Plus now.
I mind heavily.
Yeah.
I
mind when it's a spoiler.
Well, yeah. Yes. When it's a spoiler, fuck that.
I mean, the week before is Fennec Shan.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you know, like, what the fuck? Like, what, am I going to get Darth Vader next week? Like, what the fuck? Oh, you know what? I never even considered.
You shut your hole. God damn it. Don't you put that out in the universe. What's wrong with you?
I'm so sorry. Anyway, Lucasfilm, Disney, whatever, whoever's doing the social media, y'all got to slow your roll.
At least wait until after the episode is out. People are going to watch it. You don't need it. Okay.
Yeah.
Like,
how am I supposed to avoid spoilers when the fucking people that make the show are doing the spoiling? Like, it's not fair.
It's not right. It isn't right. It isn't fair. There was no parking anywhere. I think that hydrant wasn't there. Sorry. That's a Buffy the Vampire Slayer reference, which Chris adores. Okay, you know what? Let's move on.
Okay. Let's go to the episode.
So since we're in such, look, we're grumpy, all right? Shit's been making us grumpy. Spoilers been making us grumpy. Humanity in general and changes in brain chemistry have been making us grumpy. So let's talk about something that is the opposite of grumpy.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So what we're doing on this podcast is we are watching through the entire Star Wars visual story in chronological order, which means we started with episode one, The Phantom Menace, and we have been scoundreling forward through time since then, and we find ourselves today in Star Wars Rebels season 2, episode 6, Brothers of the Broken Horn.
Dun, dun, dun.
Do you have an intro?
I offer you an opportunity of a lifetime.
Oh, wow.
Ezra Bridger is feeling stretched thin by being overwhelmed by the weight of responsibility. At what lengths will he go to procrastinate or avoid it altogether? Answer a distress signal and get into a lot of danger? That is the Jedi way.
It's true. Man, I hate cleaning ships. I'm gonna go almost die a few times.
Yeah, right? It's like fucking Jedi.
Fucking Jedi. Okay, before we get into this, I do want to call out, we have a new director on this episode. Well, he's not new to Star Wars, but I'll get into it. The director of this episode, this is his first Rebels episode. The director is named Saul Ruiz, and his resume is entirely Star Wars animation.
Oh, okay.
Okay. He's done 4 episodes of Clone Wars from season 7.
So, oh, okay. So newer Clone Wars.
Right. You've heard his name before because we talked about him back in season 7. He handled the Martez sisters.
Oh my God, I love him.
Exactly. Okay. He did 4 episodes of Tales of the Jedi, 6 episodes of Resistance, 12 episodes of The Bad Batch, and will go on from here to direct 11 more episodes of Rebels. And it's worth calling out because this episode is so, like, Star Wars contains multitudes, right? Like, there's melodrama and there's heartbreak, but there's also silly shit. And there's scoundrels just scoundreling it up all over the place. And it's just, like, this movie gave me, like, I'll come in again. This show gave me Solo vibes.
Right.
Like, Solo, A Star Wars Story. The movie entirely about scoundrels, that vibes. It was so good. And so, like, Saul Ruiz gets that. He gets the other aspects of the Star Wars. And he handled it really well. And it was a lot of fun to watch.
I'm definitely aligned with you on that. Like, this gave me those Clone Wars episodes that are fun. Like, R2-D2 and C-3PO looking for Jürgen through type of vibes, you know? Like,
where R2-D2's like, I'm going to go to the spa. Bye.
Yeah. and it's a nice break because, you know, I've been watching Bad Batch and I feel like the Ahsoka show is pretty serious. There was a lot of serious Star Wars content that's been coming out. This episode is a breath of fresh air.
Oh, yeah.
I was in Batuu at Disneyland and, you know, seeing the Hondo animatronic and being like, I'm going to get to talk about you again so soon. And just looking forward to the opportunity to feel the Hondo energy. And I love it.
Feeling Hondo.
Can we talk about the title of the show, though?
Brothers of the Broken Horn?
Yeah, brothers. That word, I think, is really important for this episode because this episode does set up one of my favorite relationships in all of Star Wars, and that is the relationship between Hondo and Ezra.
Oh.
They, like, I don't think, this is my thesis, Hondo doesn't give a fuck about very many people. He loves Ezra. He loves Ezra a lot. And this is where he basically loves him and is like, this is going to be my adopted son that I'm going to see every other weekend, maybe. and I may remember to pay child support. I don't know, but I still love him.
He's the fun uncle.
Yeah.
Okay. So, shall we get into the episode?
Yes.
Okay. So, we start the episode off strong with a ding on the Ghost Cruise not being chased by the Empire.
Yay!
Instead, they are parked on Garel. Do you recognize this planet?
Nope.
We saw them back in season 1 in the Droids in Distress episode. That's the last time we were on this planet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's pretty.
Yeah. It is all metropolis-sized. Mm-hmm. It's all citified. And they've clearly got, like, their own cargo bay situation, because we hear a pew-pew as the camera angles down to where the ghost is parked, and we see Rex watching Ezra not shoot a target.
Well,
Chopper's holding a stormtrooper helmet up and, like, very slowly moving back and forth. And Ezra's like, pew, 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 to the point that Rex has to go,
aim, then fire.
Yeah. Haven't you ever played Duck Hunt? God. This is I have a note. Ezra looks taller all of a sudden.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A little bit.
It's like he's growing up a bit.
Well, I feel like they did some stuff with height in general, like trying to figure out the proportions of people this episode, because we have a shot here in a little bit of Kanan and Rex standing like near each other.
And yeah, Kanan, they were.
Yeah, I know. So we go right in the middle there. Just any time that you see Kanan and Rex standing near each other, just know I want to be in the middle of that. That's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about it just being like right in the middle there. Just mm-hmm. right in. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but Kanan looks taller than Rex than he did in previous episodes to me. And maybe it's just because this is the first time we've seen them like calmly standing near each other in a way that you can actually compare like where their shoulders and it doesn't matter. But we know that the clones of Jango Fett are all a standard, lovely 6 feet tall.
Right.
Kanan is taller than that. Canonically, he is 6'2".
He's my height.
There you go. You guys could smooch. You just write the same height.
You know, we would, if we were to make out, in my left hand, I would have a pair of scissors, and I would sneakily go behind the back of the head and cut that fucking ponytail.
You would, though. Y'all, he's not kidding.
I'm not.
You'll fucking do it.
Y'all, I just don't like long hair. It's not my thing. And also, there's a jealousy factor, I'm told by my therapist.
Yes, bald man, there is. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, so Rex is making fun of Ezra and his shitty aim, because it is shitty. Kanan wanders up and he's like, oh, hey, by the way, you're late for Jedi training. And Ezra's like, I cannot be in two places at once. I'm either in soldier training or I'm in Jedi training. I can't do both at the same time. And Rex is like, well, as a soldier, you got to learn to prioritize. And Kanan's like,
well, he's not a soldier. He's a Jedi.
And like, Kanan, fun fact, where Rex comes from, there's not actually a difference.
Yeah.
That's the same thing.
I have a note here. Steph, is this what homeschooling is like? Because you got your classes, you got to do homework, then you got your chores, and how much fun is that going to be?
Well, I mean, because of the pandemic, having done homeschooling for a while, fucking sucks. It is not for me, but thank you. It works for my family and for us not catching the plague, but now that we're in Colorado and there are public school options that also allow my children to not go to a school building, brilliant. Love it. Anyway, speaking of children, Ezra is pulling the sulky teenager routine, and he's like,
yeah.
maybe I don't want to be a soldier or a Jedi, huh? And this is all very familiar to me.
And Kanan looks really concerned when Ezra says that, and I'm like, Kanan, Ezra's a teenager.
Yeah.
He's going to flip out. That's it.
You remember being a teenager? Oh, wait, no. You were a teenager at a time when your emotions were micromanaged by a cult of Jedi.
And I'll say you're kind of running for your life after everybody you knew was murdered by your closest allies. So, yeah there's mm-hmm. other mm-hmm. things happening with Kanan at that age. You know,
he just did not have a normal childhood.
No, whereas, he didn't.
Whereas Ezra is having as close to a normal childhood as you can when you are a rebel cell actively opposing an oppressive fascist empire.
In the Outer Rim. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun times.
Anyway, so Sabine pops out of the ghost. She's like, hey, Hera has called a mandatory meeting. Let's go. Ezra runs off. Rex actually asks Kanan what's bothering Ezra. And we're reminded that these two patched things up last episode.
Yeah.
It may or may not have been a very intimate patching up that involved Hera. It depends on whose headcanon you're sitting in.
Yeah, I in my notes I finished off, what's wrong with Ezra? Kanan says, I don't know, but let's talk later. I'm sorry. I'm just not right with these two.
Well, they're having this adorable, like, my two dads moment where, you know, they're sharing this concern over this kid. And I'm like, It is right in the middle there. You guys are both so attractive when you're dadding. Oh, okay. Anyway, the meeting. Let's get to the business of the rebellion. Fuck.
Yeah.
So we get into the living room on the Ghost, and the meeting is Commander Santo is there on Zoom, letting them know that the planet Rin, which is very cold, they're running out of fuel cells over there. And as soon as they do run out, they'll all freeze to death. So,
yay.
So we need to get them more fuel cells, generators, something, fucking anything that will produce power and keep the heat on.
So why do we care about this one planet?
Because they help people.
Oh, for free? That's weird.
Yeah. Look, maybe Rin is like a Hoth, and they're part of the strategery of cultivating a good relationship with them is we might need to hide on your planet someday. But also, in general, the Rebellion, this is to show us that the Rebellion is good people, and they're just trying to help.
I know. They're good people. That's nice. But, like, tropical planets exist, y'all.
We've talked about this. The tropical planets exist, but they are definitely colonized all the fuck to hell. Okay?
Yeah.
They are not... Nobody, cost of living, baby. Okay? Nobody can afford to live on the tropical planets because of their desirability. That's just the way it is. You know that, capitalist.
As a Southern Californian, you're speaking to me right now.
Exactly. I, you know, as a new Coloradan, I am hearing about towns up in the mountains where real estate is at a fucking premium because it's beautiful and also difficult to develop up there, where they're like, somebody come and do this job here for six figures. It is a six-figure annual salary, and they can't get anybody because somebody earning that salary can't afford to live there.
That's true. I was researching rentals and Airbnbs in your area, Steph, and there are some really amazing houses around your area, but there's definitely a difference. Like, I think it's the northwestern side is like astronomically expensive versus other parts, and it's like, holy fuck.
The closer you get to the mountains, the more expensive it is, period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? I need a pool. I need a
hot tub. Come on.
Oh, I do.
Oh, my God. Anyway. Okay, so getting back to this. Yes, we're going to help out the people of Rin. Everybody's going to go hit up the black market because we're on Garel right now. It's a shopping center, I guess. So they're going to go shop for options of power sources for the planet of Rin, except Ezra. Hera pulls him over and she's like, I asked you to clean the fucking carbon scoring off the Phantom twice.
What the fuck?
And you still haven't done it. And Ezra's like, I had Jedi practice, and then I had blaster practice. And Space Mom is like, and now you have scrubbing practice.
Wow.
And then Chopper laughs at him, and she's like, yeah, you're going to go help him. And he wouldn't have been assigned to go help him if he hadn't fucking laughed. I can confirm 100% this is legitimately mom shit right here.
I was about to say, the mother is mothering so hard in my notes right now. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I cannot tell you how many times a week I have to go to my kids and be like, hey, that thing I asked you to do twice, you're going to do it right now.
Yep.
Right now. And if the other child in any way smirks or chortles or delights in the first child's discomfort,
they will join them.
Now you're helping.
But I,
for
I,
no
I,
reason, there's no good reason to make second child help other than you were an asshole right then and everybody's annoying me. So go help.
I assume at a certain point they'll figure out they have to run away when the other one has to run away when that happens.
Yeah, just
I
move.
I figured that shit out.
Yeah, no.
Get out of the way.
See, but my kids are really committed to the bit, right? Like they're in it for the joke, and it's worth it to them.
Like, so you're saying they would rather risk it and antagonize and be insulting versus
and get the laugh.
They are your children. They are your children.
They are my kids. Anyway, so we cut to Ezra and Chopper are up on top of the Ghost. They're cleaning the Phantom. Well, okay, Chopper is. Ezra's sulking.
Yeah.
Everybody else goes shopping. We see them all leave. But I'm distracted in this moment because I noticed that the Phantom has some new elements to its paint job. There are TIE fighter tags on the Phantom.
Yeah.
The kind of tags that World War II pilots would paint on their fighter jets for however many of the enemy jets they've shot down. So I had to pause and count because of who I am as a person.
Mm-hmm.
On this side of the Phantom, we can't see the other side, but on this side of the Phantom, there are 32 TIE fighter tags.
That's a lot of TIE fighters that this ship has blown up.
It's a lot. And I feel like that's not a subtle paint job to have when you're flying around the Empire's galaxy.
Well, is it really that big of a deal, though, when the Empire didn't even look out the fucking window?
That's true. Valid, valid. Anyway, Ezra is bemoaning his overworked teenager fate. He really misses the old days when everything was simple and he was just, you know, riffraff, a street rat.
Yeah, wasn't that fun? Buy that. When you're...
If only they'd look closer. They wouldn't see a poor boy, no siree. They'd find out there's so much more to me.
God damn it.
He's Aladdin. Sorry. Sorry. That's going to keep happening this episode. Sorry, you were saying before I decided to
I don't to remember what I was going to say. You just totally now put Aladdin in my head.
Yes! Anyway, he misses the old days, the simpler days, when he didn't have all of these responsibilities and obligations. Right then, we hear a distress call come in. If you listen closely, you know exactly who's making that distress call, because you can hear the voice. But they very deliberately put it on low volume behind Ezra talking and Chopper beeping, so you will be distracted and not identify the person, so that it will be a surprise reveal later. So we're going to play along.
So weird quirk I discovered. So I watched this episode twice, once on my living room TV, once on my phone.
Uh-huh.
On one, I think it was on my phone. They clearly label who said it.
Oh, no.
In the captions. On TV, they didn't.
Huh.
So Disney Plus captions, what the fuck?
I actually noticed that in this last Bad Batch episode. Up until the moment that Ventress's identity is revealed. By the way, spoiler alert, Ventress is in the last Bad Batch. I hope you've watched it by now. Anyway, up until the moment her identity is revealed, she is described as person in the subtitles.
Right.
So, never mind that if you know who that is, you know who that is. You can tell by looking at who that is that's who that is. I appreciate them trying to preserve the surprise.
Yeah, that's a nice change. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, so, distress call. It is from the Broken Horn. That is Visago's ship. And Ezra's like, well, that's a distress call. And if there's one thing I learned from Kanan, it's that you always have to help someone in distress. See? He's being a good Jedi. He's definitely not being a shitty crewmate who doesn't do his fucking chores or contribute to the household in any way.
It's funny how sometimes both things can be true.
It is. That both things are, in fact, true at the same time. He is right. Being a shitty crewmate who doesn't do his fucking chores. Shitty. Look, I'm just saying. You use the trash can, too. You use the toilet paper, too. Fix it. If you see the trash can is full, take that shit out. If you see the toilet paper roll is empty, replace that shit. What the fuck?
This is where Steph is starting to, like, vent at us about real-life experiences, y'all, and it's best to remain silent and comment on it.
Just hold still. Her vision's based on movement. I'm waiting for my kids to catch on to that and just, like, freeze.
spoiler, it never will happen.
No, I see you. I'm a mammal. I see you. It's fine. Anyway, Ezra does also point, because Chopper's like, fuck are you doing? And Ezra's like, look, I actually owe Visago this huge debt for helping us track down Kanan last season. You remember? I remember. And so we're going to go. And so Ezra and Chopper are now in the Phantom. Ezra's about to fly away with it. And Chopper's given Ezra shit for not being able to fly. And Ezra barely gets the Phantom out of there in one piece. It really reminded me, Ezra flying out of trying to undock the Phantom from the Ghost and then trying to wobbles off into space, you know, reminded me of that moment in Galaxy Quest when the actor who plays the helmsman gets sat at the helm of an actual ship and has to try and, like, get it out of dock. You remember?
Yeah, we designed your controls based on how we watched you use them in the show.
And he just scrapes the ship all the way down the side. It was fucking brilliant. God, I love Galaxy.
I need to watch that movie again.
It's so good. Okay, okay. So Ezra and Chopper are definitely fucking running off to go do dangerous shit in space while everybody else is shopping. So.
Yeah.
Good job, guys. This is going to go well. Anyway, title card of the episode.
Take the keys to the ship.
Right. Oh, my God. You guys just had clearly, like, Kanan, Hera, Rex, parents, sit down. You guys clearly haven't had teenagers for long.
Right.
You need to take the keys with you when you go. You got to take the fucking keys. And if you think that taking the keys won't do it, maybe there's some spare keys that you don't know about, take the fucking spark plugs. Don't leave a functioning vehicle when your rebellious, I don't even want to do this anymore teenager is sulking around the house and you've left. That's dumb. And I'm saying this not because my kids would ever do that. I'm saying this because I definitely did
that. I did that. Yeah. It was me.
I took off. Absolutely.
It's me. I'm the problem.
Okay, so Ezra and Chopper are flying away from Gorel. Ezra gets a solid ding on the Wreath Silas personally attacking me personally counter. When he responds to something that Chopper says by saying,
I'm not running away from my problems. I am simply helping someone with their problems. There's a difference.
Shaking my head no at that. Oh,
I do that shit all the time. All the time. Why would I ever have to process my own feelings when I'm helping someone else do theirs? I gotta be stable. I gotta have my shit together. So obviously, I just do.
Oh my God, work is so hard right now. I'm gonna look in Discord and try to settle a matter between two nerds debating a Star Wars thing. You know, it's like.
And look, when you're a parent and you have kids, you have to do that. You have to set your own problems aside and help them because that's just like good parenting or whatever. Certainly doesn't lead to any kind of feelings of self-neglect or anything or being forgotten in your own fucking house or any of that. Anyway, therapy's great, y'all.
We get them therapy. It's really cool.
Get yourself therapy. Like, the kids will be fine. They can unpack shit with their therapist later. Get yourself therapy. A therapied parent is it's elite. Anyway, so yeah, they find the broken horn. It's just hanging out sort of like in high orbit over Gorel, like you do. And they pull up and Ezra's trying to hail them. There's no answer. So of course, why not just fucking dock with the non-functioning ship that's not answering your hails and then like board it? Like maybe you didn't just have a space horror episode last time.
Yeah, no. That's kind of my point. My feeling of this episode, how it starts off, is like y'all just did like went to a ship. There was a distress signal, or I forgot how they found the space station. I slept since then, but there was just an alien situation,
right? Yeah,
scenario. You're just going back into the same fucking situation. Granted, it's with a ship you already know, but Visago isn't necessarily like an upstanding citizen.
Exactly friendly, right? Okay? Like, come on now. And if his ship is not answering, but they sent out a distress call,
they're in trouble.
You're gonna fucking die. There's facehuggers on that ship. What are you doing?
Right, right.
Oh my God. Jedi.
Mother, I disabled the bomb. Sorry.
What? Oh, aliens.
I just watched Alien yesterday, and I was like, fuck you, mother!
So anyway, yes, they do board, and Ezra is wearing his adorable custom-painted trooper cadet helmet. Love
Yay.
It. The ship is empty, and at one point, Chopper gets stuck behind a door that suddenly closed in his face, which, again, horror vibes.
I hate it.
But he rolls off, grumbling to himself, and then he finds a bunch of fuel cells in the cargo, so yeah, good for him.
What a coinkydink. They were looking for that at the beginning of the episode. I love Amazing. How everything is tied together.
It's almost like this is a well-written episode.
Wow.
Ezra turns a corner and runs smack into a tall, terrifying, scary droid of some kind. Hey, Chris, do you have any information on this droid?
Hey, Steph, would you like to hear about the droid I have no name for, no model for, no nothing?
There is shockingly little information about these droids.
The only thing I was able to find about these droids was that they could be based on older, much older models, which they do look big, bulky, rusted, etc. And they may be based off of concept drawings of the first draft of the super battle droids that were introduced in Attack of the Clones.
Uh-huh.
That's not confirmed. StarWars.com doesn't have shit on it. Wikipedia doesn't have shit on it.
Nobody knows.
As far as I'm concerned, these droids aren't real.
Right. Like, there's only dozens of them, and they're only a major plot point in this episode, but.
Yeah. If it's not on Wikipedia, it's not real. There.
None of it's real. None of it's real. We're imagining all of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ezra runs into the droids. The droids are all shut off. And so he starts to get a ding on the I have a bad feeling about this counter. He eventually gets to the cockpit of the ship, where he sees some legs sticking out from under the console. Heather, would you like to discuss this first shot from the lap of this person?
There's not a word in the English language or any language that can describe my excitement and how my insides suddenly started to feel when this moment came. This to say, I was extremely happy and excited and ready to go.
I wish I could disagree. Here's the thing. Our first shot of this character is from the point of view of this character under the console, straight through his own crotch to the door of the cockpit.
Unreal.
Which is a fun and interesting new angle and makes me think the animators maybe share our feelings about this particular character.
But look. Hondo is one of my favorite Star Wars characters. Like, seriously.
Right.
And I get to see him all the time.
Uh-huh.
His most attractive attribute is his fucking wit. I love a man who is clever and is funny and is sarcastic as shit. Hondo makes me moist. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's Jim Cummings doing the voice, so it's like, good God. Because Jim Cummings is also funny as shit and clever and...
So, okay, let's fast forward to the reveal out from underneath the console in this cockpit. That's Hondo motherfucking Onaka. It's not Visago. That's Hondo Onaka, a.k.a. the Pirate King from all of fucking Clone Wars. And just a quick review about Jim Cummings.
Oh, my God.
For those of you who may be joining us for Rebels and weren't around for all of Clone Wars, Jim Cummings is the voice actor for Hondo Onaka. He's a fucking legend with over 600 acting credits. You have heard his voice before. Don't act like you haven't. You have. He is the voice of Pete the Cat in everything Disney does involving Pete the Cat. He's the voice of Winnie the Pooh and Tigger too. From Princess and the Frog, he's Ray the Lightning Bug. And y'all, right now, Jim Cummings is on TikTok. You could find, he's posted a video of him singing Ray's song from The Princess and the Frog at this event in New Orleans. It is so, I just fell in love with him all over again. It's the sweetest song. And just, it's so, and he's singing it in character. It's fucking great. Anyway, my personal favorite credit on his resume, he does multiple voices in Super Robot Monkey Team Hyperforce Go.
God damn it.
Which is a show I've never watched, but it shows up a lot when talking about the voice actors for Star Wars. And so I like to say the name.
I feel like that show has been mentioned so often that we need to fucking just do an episode on it, because I've yet to see it too. I am about to watch, Has Been Hotel.
Which you should. It's very good.
I know. People keep telling me, and I'm going to watch it.
The follow-up after Has Been Hotel is Hell of a Boss, which is on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
Hell of a Boss is much dirtier. It is set in the same universe.
Oh, okay. There's a MCU kind of thing going on. That's nice.
Sure.
Cool.
Except for not.
Except it's just in the same universe.
Anyway.
So, like, I think that, like, in general, Jim Cummings is, like, his voice is our childhood. He is my favorite voice actor. Following him on TikTok, like you said, Steph, like, that's one reason why I've kept my TikTok, was just to see his fucking videos. He is effortlessly funny.
And because we are using it because of the show.
Yeah, sure, whatever. Jim Cummings.
I have never heard anyone have a negative interaction with
ever,
Jim Cummings.
Ever.
He's
a fucking delight. I've seen tons of YouTube videos with him at like conventions and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Super nice, super funny. I love it when people ask him to say other Star Wars lines in his Hondo voice.
Nice.
He's like, Luke, I am your father. Hey, you know, like that video was hilarious. So yeah. Anyway,
back into the episode, we love Jim Cummings. And he introduces himself as Hondo Onaka, the proud owner of this very fine but currently inoperative vessel. And Ezra's like, where's Visago? And Hondo's like, oh, you know Visago. Anyway, he's super not here. Hondo, for those of us who know him from Clone Wars, clearly has not changed a bit in the last 15 years or so of his life. He is still very much the full-on charming scoundrel moment. He apparently won the ship, according to him, he won the ship from Visago in a friendly game of Sabacc.
Which sounds reasonable considering we We know that Han Solo has won a ship from Sabacc, so sure. Maybe Hondo did the same thing.
This is what scoundrels do.
But here's the thing. Hondo is a much bigger liar than Solo.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a lying liar who tells lies.
Yeah.
He even says, oh, and I won these droids too. See, look, I control them with this remote. He pulls a remote off his belt, turns it on. The droids turn on. He turns them back off again. He's like, oh, that's so fun. Yeah. They're off because I think they'll kill him if he turns them back on. But okay.
Yeah.
Thing though, keep an eye on that remote for the rest of this episode.
Oh, I tried. We'll talk about that.
Yeah. Anyway, he asks who Ezra is. And Ezra introduces himself. I fully expected him to say Jabba the Hutt.
Me too.
He did not, though. He says Lando Calrissian. And what? Hondo is like, oh, amazing. He throws an arm around Ezra. He goes,
so at last I meet the semi-famous Lando Calrissian.
Because he's shady. Semi-famous?
He's not like, as famous as me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you're younger than I thought you would be, but you flew here to rescue me, so you must be the scoundrel that I've heard of. He does not believe Ezra for a fucking second.
No, because he knows what Lando...
He damn knows well Lando knows looks Lando like. Calrissian.
Yeah.
In no way.
He's heard that Lando likes the outfits, has the class, capes. The suave.
Like, even if you've never laid eyes on Lando's face, you've heard about his fucking capes.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Like, come on now. Anyway, he immediately offers to hire Lando, and Ezra's like, nah, I've already got a crew. Hey, anyway, where's my droid? It looks around right. And finally notices that Chopper is gone, and Hondo's like, oh, I had a crew once too, but I lost it all to the Empire. So pause here. I saw an interview with Dave Filoni.
Oh, wow.
About what Hondo's been up to since the Clone War. And Dave Filoni describes his headcanon. And Dave Filoni's headcanon is also known to us as just canon. Because that's how this works.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're the creator of the show, when you're the supervising director of all the episodes, when you are now the creative director of Lucasfilm, your headcanon is our canon, sir. But it's really sweet of you to pretend like it's just how you imagine things. Anyway, in Dave Filoni's mind, Hondo was a shameless, enormous war profiteer.
Oh, yeah.
During the Clone Wars, which makes him not a good person, just so we're clear.
I don't
care. War profiteering is a crime. Ding on the war crime counter from Dave Filoni's headcanon.
Okay. we're deaning off of an interview? Okay.
Yes. Hondo, according to Dave Filoni, would have ended that war fabulously wealthy. Like, rich, successful, financially secure, probably the happiest he's ever been in his life. And then at some point during the rise of the Empire, he lost it all. To the point that he ended up alone stealing a ship from Visago. I mean, winning the ship in a friendly game of Sabacc.
Yeah,
from
sure.
Visago. And so the Hondo that we meet here is just trying to get back to his Pirate King life.
That's aww. All.
Oh, fun fact, the music, because Hondo's got music blaring in the cockpit when Ezra first walks in, that music is the same music that was playing at Hondo's pirate den / cantina back in Clone Wars.
And you can hear a remix of this song in Oga's cantina in Batuu.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I would get jiggy to that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Also, sorry, there's all kinds of details about Hondo. There's a symbol on the back of his jacket and also on his belt buckle that should look familiar to those of us who watch Clone Wars. It's the symbol of his pirate crew from the Clone Wars. And apparently, I will need to rewatch and look for this. There is a bunch of flags that are flown in the trailer for Star Wars The Force Awakens. And the flag for Hondo's pirate crew is in that.
What?
I know.
Why isn't Hondo in Force Awakens?
Why isn't Hondo in everything live action? He makes everything better.
Right.
Oh my god. Except for when he makes things so much worse.
Except every episode when he makes everything worse.
But then he makes it better. Like, that's...
It works
that's
out.
The key. According to Dave Filoni, that is the key with Hondo, is he does all of this scoundrel shit, right?
Right.
But at the end, he has that moment of sincerity and clarity. Every time.
Yeah.
That's the key with Hondo.
I love him.
And I get that. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, Hondo's like, I lost it all to the Empire. So Q, the Empire rolls up and is immediately like, hey, you ship, you breached an Imperial checkpoint, and starts shooting at them.
Yeah.
So Ezra hotwires the hyperdrive. Chopper suddenly rolls in, plugs into the hyperdrive, and they are off. into hyperspace.
I had to translate. Chopper rolls in hearing the alarm, goes, "Let's get the fuck out of here," and doesn't even ask anybody if they want to go into hyperspace.
Right.
Or not. Yeah.
Just no. He doesn't even ask where they want to go. We're just in hyperspace.
Yeah. Chopper doesn't even wait to like be like, "Oh, who are you, DeHondo?" He just like plugs in. Yeah.
Yep. Because he knows the sound of Imperial pew-pews.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He knows what that is. No, we're not sticking around for this. We're in the Broken Horn, which is not a combat vessel. This is a tin can in space. Anyway, so now we're in hyperspace with Hondo, which is a fan fiction I would love to read.
Right.
Just what do you do when it's just you and Hondo and you're consenting adults and you're not Ezra, who is a teenager, and you just got like a long hyperspace.
I have a long drawn out fantasy for you, Steph. I'll tell you in chat later.
Awesome. Anyway, Hondo is doing his very best, we're already best friends now routine.
Yep.
All at Ezra. And I just, his charm is fucking weaponized. It's ridiculous. He's so fucking likable. Like, even if I hadn't already adored him from Clone Wars, this is effortless for him, is to just be like obviously he's shady, but like, I like him.
And it's real stuff. So, in the Millennium Falcon ride pre-show, there's a...
I love that you start your story about a ride at Disney.
Yeah.
About an animatronic of a fictional character. And you started it by saying, it's real.
It is.
Go on. Cool. No, so, as long as we all know where we stand with this
directly
particular
in front of me, there
moment.
Were directly in front of me, there was a family. Two of the kids were really nervous about going on the ride. They seemed very jittery. They show up. Hondo has his whole speech and spiel he does to get people ready for pumped up for the ride. And he's like, I need pilots to navigate all this kind of stuff. And he's like telling people, you're going to do great. You're going to do wonderful. All this kind of stuff. Kids are like, Mom, I can't wait to go on the ride now. Like they completely 180'd. And I'm like, Hondo's using you fuckers like a...
Yeah, that's what he does. And it's brilliant that they bring this dynamic of the character from the show where he's like, no, you're amazing and we are best friends and I'm going to use you to make crime. But they bring that into the ride at Batuu. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is real, Chris. It's all real.
It is real to me.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
Anyway, Hondo is like, hey, so how about you, Lando, help me out with a deal that I need to do because I'm an old man and pushing crates is really hard.
Bullshit.
Yeah. Chopper, and Ezra's like, okay, but what are you selling? And Chopper shows him a holo of the crates that he found.
Oops.
And, oh, hey, they're power generators, the same kind of power generators that the Ghost crew is looking for. And Ezra's like, hey, those are all really hard to come by and really expensive, old man.
That's my favorite line.
And Hondo goes,
you're right, which is why we will sell them at a fair markup. 500%.
What?
I love him. It's a fair markup, sure. That's war profiteering, y'all.
Yeah, that's it right there.
That's price gouging. You should not mark up anything 500% when people need it to survive.
And even this capitalist is like, holy shit, that's intense.
God damn, Hondo. Well, because it's when you want a bicycle, you ask for a horse, right? So he doesn't want the 500. He'll take the 500% if people are that desperate. But that's not what he's shooting for. He's actually shooting for like 100% markup.
Oh, yeah.
He just wants to be haggled down to that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anyway, Ezra responds to Hondo's very clear shady routine with his own very clear shady Aladdin street rat routine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just as a reminder to all of us that Ezra had multiple levels in Scoundrel long before he started multiclassing in Jedi. So they Scoundrel haggle. These two speak each other's language.
Yeah.
In a way that no one else on the Ghost crew would be able to do. Can you imagine Zeb trying to have this conversation with Hondo?
No way.
Absolutely not.
And also, I can't think of any Jedi from the Clone Wars either who could do this to Hondo.
Quinlan Voss, maybe.
Maybe, but we never got that interaction.
We didn't. The only Jedi who came close to being able to deal with Hondo was Obi-Wan Kenobi.
We'll talk about that in a second.
So, Ezra and Hondo are Scoundrel haggling, and they come up to a deal that has Ezra taking home two crates of generators and a portion of the profits of the sale of the rest of it. Cool. While they're doing this, keeping an eye on the droid remote, Ezra pickpockets it off of Hondo and hands it over to Chopper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. So they pull up into the a port on a remote nameless planet of some kind.
Right.
Clearly no atmosphere. Like, it looks like our moon.
Hey, Steph, would you like to know about Nexus Hub 218?
Yes. That's I didn't know there was going to be information.
There's
amazing
information on the fucking hub, but not the droid. Okay, anyway.
But not the droids. Yes, go on.
It's a space station that was once abandoned, believed to have been built in the Old Republic era. Now it is a black market space station. You basically show up and you're like, hey, does anybody have drugs, you know, whatever it is. And
I got illegal shit. Do you got illegal shit?
Yeah, it's basically a marketplace. So every single person here at the station is a fucking criminal.
And there's no law here.
No, and there's no law
guessing
here.
Yeah. Nope. Because it gets real shooty real quick.
There's a quote understanding that you shouldn't be bringing weapons in here, but
I understand that we all have weapons. That's my understanding.
The rules here are more like guidelines, if you will, you know. Fucking pirates.
Nice. Oh, pirates. So they get there, they're offloading cargo. Ezra tells Chopper to stay with the ship and keep a comm channel open in case of trouble. And honestly, this is the smartest fucking move.
Yeah.
Because Chopper is one hell of a break glass in case of emergency moment. Like, second only to having Zeb wait outside, you know?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Anyway, so Ezra pushes the floaty cart covered with crates with Hondo. They get to a cargo bay to meet the buyer. Who's the buyer, Chris?
Ugh, Ez Morrigan.
It's Ez Morrigan, the red demon pig looking guy who once bought Hera from Lando.
Ugh.
That guy. Ezra recognizes Ez Morrigan, recognizes that Ez Morrigan will definitely recognize him, and drops the mask on his helmet. Mm-hmm, so good for him. Ez Morrigan's like, where the fuck is Visago? And Hondo's like, oh, he's indisposed. And he starts schmoozing, like you do, up to Ez Morrigan and introduces himself as Hondo Onaka. Ez Morrigan says,
is this a joke? I don't deal with washed up old relics. Calm now, let's leave your wife out of this.
Fucking snap. Scoundrels. Everybody knows everybody. Which means that Hondo definitely knows that Ezra is not Lando Calrissian.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He knows. He's just going with it. Because whatever. Ez Morrigan signals all of his dudes, who all pull guns, and a bunch more dudes pop out of hiding, and they've all got guns. It's a double cross.
Double cross, because Ez Morrigan was totally going to do this to Visago.
Exactly. Like, this was definitely his plan the whole time.
Yeah.
It's just that there's an extra cherry on top in the form of Hondo Onaka. We'll get
to it. Yeah. So Hondo is like, oh shit, hey, why don't we just do the original deal? Uh-huh. And I'm like, Hondo, this is the original deal.
This is the original deal, sweetheart.
This
I
was always
you.
The plan.
Oh, yeah. And Ez Morrigan is like, no, I'm going to send you out this space to die. Because the Rang clan has a bounty on Hondo's head.
I don't have information on the Rain Clan.
I have a little bit. But while this is all going on, Ezra hit the comms and has been talking loudly about how they've been captured and everything to signal Chopper. And Chopper back at the ship is like, oh, I'm going to go fuck them up, and is rolling in their direction. So brace for impact. Chopper's on his way. The Rain Clan, we last heard of them. You and I last heard of them. They were first mentioned in Dark Disciple.
Oh.
They are an up-and-coming crime family that is trying to rival Crimson Dawn. They will not succeed.
No.
No.
It helps to have a former Sith Lord.
Yeah, that's the thing. Good luck, Rain Clan. You don't have a Darth Maul.
No.
Sorry.
Just
sorry,
Maul.
Sorry, not sorry. But at some point, Hondo pissed off the Rain Clan.
Yeah.
So here we are. Ez Morrigan is loving this. He is on full gloat mode. He's gonna steal the generators. He gets to keep all of the money that he brought to performatively pretend to pay for the generators. And he gets paid for killing Hondo. This is awesome. He suddenly realizes Ezra is there.
Yeah.
He's like, wait, who's this? One of his dudes rips the helmet off of Ezra. And Ez Morrigan's like, oh, I know you. And Hondo says, of course you do. This is my old friend, Lando Calrissian.
No, he's not.
No! You're not, Lando. And Hondo goes,
you lied to me? I knew I liked you.
I love that line.
It's the best line. It's a very Hondo line.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ez Morrigan definitely remembers Ezra from robbing him of Hera, by the way.
Right.
Ezra was involved in preventing Ez Morrigan from keeping Hera as a sex slave. I'm just saying. Or whatever he was going to do with her. She was just going to serve him dinner. Anyway, he's absolutely fucking tickled pink that now he gets to kill Ezra too. He's so happy. He's gloating all about it and keeping the, like, getting to kill Hondo, gets to keep all 5 crates of generators. Wait, he looks over. There's only 4 crates of generators.
Where's the 5th one?
It's with the droid. What droid? Q Chopper.
And this is when the murder begins.
The doors open and chaos itself rides in on a pale horse. I swear to God. He's like, this is my moment.
Yeah, Chopper in murder mode is very scary.
It's so, look, nobody's having more fun than Chopper right now. Okay.
No, that's the problem.
Yeah. So a fucking crazy fight ensues. Hondo, in the course of it, definitely murders one of Asmorgan's dudes.
Oh, sure.
Spaces him, just tosses him right through the force field of the airlock. Good for him. He asks Ezra, what's the plan? And Ezra's like, I don't know, ask the droid. And I feel like that's legit.
Yeah. Hondo is also having fun. He's like, well, this is fun.
Uh-huh. He's having a great time.
He is.
Ezra, much earlier than most Jedi, remembers that he has Jedi training. He goes all acrobatic. He gets Chopper to throw him his blaster. Ezra starts stunning dudes. And I want to point out, Ezra's the only one who's doing stun.
Yeah.
Everybody else is murder.
Chopper is definitely trying to murder.
Yeah. And Hondo is murdering. As Morgan is trying to murder, he shoves a space forklift at Ezra. Hondo shoves him out of the way because Hondo is fucking wonderful.
Hondo likes Ezra.
He likes kids and he likes Jedi. And Ezra is both of those things.
Yeah.
You remember the little baby Padawans?
Yeah. Yeah.
And how one of them like hung out with Hondo forever. Anyway, Chopper gets a hold of not one, but 2 blasters.
Oh, God.
And I swear to God, he says, say hello to my little friend.
And then, and he starts blasting.
He just starts blasting. He pops up onto his 3rd dick wheel and just rolls forward, and he has become Death Destroyer of Worlds, okay? He's chasing Asmorgan around. It's super fun. Hondo gets launched on the slidey platform thing that launches people out through the airlock thing.
Yeah.
And but at that same moment, he gets distracted by the fact that Asmorgan's box of money lands in his lap, and he goes, I'm rich! But he's still definitely hurtling towards open space, and he goes, I'm dead! Ezra remembers that he has the Force and uses it to grab Hondo, saves his life, and Hondo's like, oh, shit.
I know what this is.
Exactly. Hondo definitely knows Jedi shit when he sees it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Asmorgan does the smartest thing anybody in this episode has done, and he runs the fuck away. He gets on his luxury ship and leaves.
Yeah.
And Hondo is finding himself delighted to have the money and also the generators. What a
By the way,
time.
Did you notice the ship that Asmorgan leaves?
Uh-huh. What about
it? You know the model of the ship?
I know it's one of them luxury ships. Would you like to tell us about that ship?
Specifically, that ship
uh-huh.
is identical to Count Dooku's ship. That he gets out, I think it's Attack of the Clones, we first see it. We see it a bunch of times in Clone Wars. I have a headcanon.
That it is Dooku's ship?
That it is Dooku's ship that Asmorgan straight up bought from auction.
Yeah!
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's legit. I feel like that the Empire would have definitely had a fucking fire sale on all of Dooku's shit.
Yeah, apparently, because apparently Dooku was, still blows my mind that Bad Batch contradicted my headcanon, but I'll take it.
Well, no, the reason Dooku had budget problems is because he was skimming.
Oh,
hugely. Yeah.
Too much. He wasn't skimming. He was stealing. He was hoarding.
That was just theft. Anyway, so as Morgan is gone, Hondo is thrilled because he has the money and he has the generators. And he turns to Ezra and he goes,
My friend, you might not be Calrissian, but I know one thing you are. You are a Jedi.
Dun, dun, dun.
Uh-huh. And Hondo's like, why didn't you tell me that you're a Jedi? I'm a Jedi sympathizer. And that's true.
True.
Because Dave Filoni says so. So back to Dave Filoni's headcanon / actually just canon about Hondo. He says that Hondo legitimately felt throughout the entire Clone War that Obi-Wan Kenobi was his friend.
Okay.
He thought that they were friends. And so when the little Padawans came along, he's like, fuck, these are Jedi too. I like Jedi. I like these kids. He's a Jedi sympathizer. And to openly call yourself a Jedi sympathizer in a post-imperial era is amazing. Like, that's very fucking cool. Dave Filoni says that Ezra could have very easily, if he had never met the Ghost Crew, could have very easily become a Jedi Pirate King. If he met Hondo, if he'd met Hondo first, absolutely. It's all about who you hook up with first, because Hondo would have taken him under his wing. Absolutely, he would have.
So I made a list
of
Hondo's interactions with Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin Skywalker.
Uh-huh. And how many times it was unfriendly?
Most of the time it was unfriendly. Three kidnappings, a poisoning, a betrayal.
It wasn't a poisoning, it was a drugging, and then he tied them to Dooku.
Right, right. He sold them out several times to bounty hunters. Uh-huh. and then, yeah.
Friends.
And then,
friends.
And then, yeah, by the end of it, Hondo called for help with Obi-Wan Kenobi. So I guess they're friends as far as pirates go, but yeah. You know, when Hondo says this, I had to laugh my ass off for 20 minutes. And my partner who watched this episode with me was like, "What's so funny?" I'm like, "You need to go back and watch these episodes, Clone Wars episodes, because his definition of friend is interesting."
Right, because he actually does say to Ezra,
"But one of my best friends was a Jedi. I'm pretty sure we were friends."
Yeah.
And he's 100% talking about Obi-Wan.
Of course.
It's just, I love it. And like, I do think that the double crossing and the surviving each other's double crosses and everything, that's a sign of friendship and respect amongst pirates.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, they are. They're friends. According to, look, I think if you asked Obi-Wan, you'd get a different answer.
I agree. Obi-Wan does not consider Hondo a friend.
No.
But
he doesn't consider him an enemy either.
Yeah, it's kind of, right? You know, you're dealing with a pirate. You're going to, pirates are going to
pirate. Yeah. Anyway, Ezra denies being a Jedi. He's like, "I'm not really a Jedi yet." And then Hondo's like, "Then join me and be a pirate Jedi." Like, the world is your oyster. So they're flying away, doing what they do. Hondo is doing his hard charisma sell to Ezra on the ship. He's like, "Join my crew. We'll split everything 50-40.
Hey, what about the other 10%?
Right. Ezra's like, "That's 90. What's the other 10%? And Honda's like, "You want me to spend that on expenses. Trust me." And Ezra bargains, because he's also a scoundrel. He bargains for, "You know what? How about you give me 0% and just give me all 5 crates of those generators?" Because Ezra's still eyes on the prize here. He wants to help the people on Rin, because Jedi. And Hondo's like, "That's a deal. Let's celebrate." And he just sends Chopper to the galley to get him the very best and most expensive drink, and also something for Ezra. And Ezra's like, "No, I'll go with him." And he's walking away with Chopper. And he says something that I think many, many people in the galaxy far, far away have had reason to say before.
He's confused.
Ezra says,
"I don't know what just happened. Did I just join his crew?"
Yeah, I think that's how Hondo basically recruits people.
Everybody.
Yeah.
They're just like, they don't know what happened. They blink and it's been 5 years and they've been a pirate. And, you know, they don't know. This is just dealing with Hondo. That is the force of his charisma. That is the quickness of his wit. That is what a fucking iconic and epic character he is. I love it. And Ezra is half considering it. He's like, "I would make a really good pirate, and Inquisitors don't hunt them, right?"
Mm. Mm.
But then, and that's the noise that Chopper's making, by the way.
Yeah, well, also I had to headcanon. Chopper was like, "Well, you were being kind of shitty to the crew, so you're going to leave the crew because you're being such a shithead?" I feel like that's all all implied, yeah.
And Ezra's like, "No, I'm not going to leave the crew. I don't want to leave the ghost." But like, seriously, Inquisitors don't hunt pirates. Just saying.
Mm.
That sounds nice. They would still hunt you, sweetheart.
They would.
You're still a Force user.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there, because we're distracted by a sound. And he follows the sound to the brig, where we find Visago.
Shocked.
Yeah. But no. Not like it was. Visago's either locked up somewhere on the ship or dead.
Or dead. Like, I was actually shocked he was still alive, to be honest with you.
But we can't get rid of this character, because look at his arms. Anyway, mm-hmm. It turns out Hondo somehow disabled the droids. And according to Visago, Visago's like, "Holy shit, why are you here?" Anyway, Hondo disabled my droids somehow, stunned me, took my ship, and locked me up. Ezra knocks on Chopper to get the droid remote back. And he's like, "This right here, this is how he disabled the droids." And then he puts the remote on his belt. Visago and I are both keeping an eye on that remote right now.
Yep.
Anyway, Visago's like, "Great, whatever. Help me get my ship back." And Ezra's like, "I had other shit to do. I don't need to do that." Because he's trying to provoke Visago to say exactly what he says, which is, "You owe me. So help me get my ship back and your debt is clear. We're even.
Uh-huh. Snap.
Exactly. And Ezra's like, deal. Ha-ha. Because pirates. I am a scoundrel child.
Yeah.
I love pirates. So Ezra's like, Chopper, go load up all the generators onto the Phantom. And Visago's like, those are my generators. And Ezra goes,
no, my generators. Now come along and behave.
And I feel like somebody's channeling his inner Hera right now. Because that was a very space mom thing to say.
He's learning.
Yeah. He's a sponge. He's absorbing. Which is why it's good that the ghost crew found him before Hondo did. Because can you imagine?
Oh my God.
Ezra having been absorbing Hondo energy this whole time? No.
Ezra would be a terror on the galaxy.
He at would that be. Point. Mm-hmm. I actually kind of want to see it now.
Star Wars What If, maybe?
Yeah. Jedi pirate for me, please. Mm-hmm. That's fun. Anyway, they get to the cockpit. Ezra walks in with Visago, and Hondo is all clutching his pearls because, my partner, you have betrayed me. While they're bantering, Visago pickpockets a droid remote off of Ezra.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, fucking scoundrels. Ezra's like, okay, you know what? You two, here's the deal. I'll take the generators, and you two can split as Morrigan's money, and we all go home happy.
Okay? And Hondo says, that is a fair deal. And it disgusts me.
Right? And Visago's like, for once I agree. Care to hear my counter offer? And he activates the fucking droids.
God damn it.
Now there's a shootout. It's fairly brief as the ship exits hyperspace over Gorel because Hondo's bringing Ezra home. He doesn't actually want to keep this kid.
No. Yeah.
Ezra has to pull his lightsaber to get out of the situation. Hondo escapes with Asmorrigan's money, like through a hatch in the floor.
He says, I will invest your share wisely.
I love him so much. Ezra uses the force to pickpocket the droid remote off of Visago. Uses it to deactivate the droids. Visago has gone off to chase after Hondo. Suddenly, Ezra gets a message from Chopper freaking out over the comms because Hondo is currently stealing the Phantom.
God damn it.
Because fucking scoundrels. Anyway, they pull up. Ezra and Visago meet just in time to watch Hondo escape with the Phantom, like you do, and the money. He's got the generators and the money. And he's taken off with the Phantom. Great. Ezra turns to Visago and he goes, well, I got your ship back. As promised. That's your deal.
And Visago's face sells the whole moment because he looks so defeated. And in the next scene where Ezra's put into the escape pod and like flown off to the planet, and Visago's like,
I hate the children.
I feel so seen.
He totally got played by this child.
Yeah.
That happened. You that was the deal. You got your ship back. We're done here. And also, Jedi Kid no longer owes you. Ha-ha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they're in the escape pod being shuttled back to Gorel. Ezra's all bummed out. He's like, how am I even supposed to explain this mess? And that's legit. You did, in fact, lose the family car.
I had my notes. Mom, Dad, I don't know where the car is right now. What do you mean you don't know where the car is right now?
Pirate took off in my car. Your car. Our car. Family car. Your car. You know what? You're right. It's your car. Anyway. Chopper beep beeps, and Ezra's like, wait, what do you mean you know where Hondo's going? Cut to the ghost, where Ezra's walking up to the ramp and can hear Hondo's voice, who is regaling the crew with a very factually fantastic tale of their shenanigans.
Yeah.
Where he's clearly depicting Ezra as the hero who liberated all of the generators from the evil Visago. Ezra walks up. And he's like, yeah, so none of that shit is true. You actually stole those generators and my ship.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the look on Kanan and Hera's faces as they're looking back and forth between these two. They're like, I think you might, like, especially on Hera's face, that look is like, oh, you two deserve each other. Okay. But Hondo responds to this by going,
what an accusation! You wound me!
Chopper had the Phantom on autopilot.
Well, that's another version of the story, I suppose.
Nobody in Star Wars talks like Hondo.
Nobody.
He has such a unique voice. Now, it's not just Jim Cummings, it's his writing. Like, he speaks so fast, and he's so verbally agile.
Mm-hmm,
he could just... everything about this performance. You know this guy can talk circles around everyone, even this moment where he is standing in the cargo bay of the ship that he definitely tried to steal everything from.
Yeah.
Like, he was forced to land here, and he was like, I have an amazing story, and I'm so fucking likable, none of you will shoot me. You know what? You know what? I'll give you the generators.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how great I am and how generous I... You have no choice but to give them the generators, sweetheart. The generators are on their ship that you stole.
But that's not the point. The fact is, he's going to give them the generators, and while giving this speech, he's slowly walking
he's
towards...
Leaving.
He's Dean on the bail bails counter. He's fucking walking out. And I love... And this is... Again, I went back to the other Hondo episodes. This is a classic Hondo maneuver.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to talk my way out of the situation while walking out of the room, and no one's going to stop him.
Because he's talking, and nobody wants to stop his talking because he's so... the Hondo.
It's like waiting for a tornado to get out of the room. Like, you're just staring at the tornado like, wow, that's fucking amazing, while it's, like, devastating your town and moving
away.
Right. Yeah.
And everybody, like, the standard response to Hondo leaving the room is to just stand there for a second and go, what just happened?
Yeah. Wow. What was that? Yeah.
What? So, Hondo's like, I'm leaving and I'm giving you all the generators. He gets off the ship. Ezra follows him and is like, hey, just so you know, at one point in my life, I might have joined your crew.
Oh, Ezra. You truly are a Jedi.
And it's true.
Yeah.
So Hondo, wealthy, by the way, he still has Asmorgan's money under his arm.
Absolutely.
He walked away with the money. And that's why he gave up the generators. Because he knew that that was what Ezra wanted for real, was just the generators. So he's like, take the generators and don't notice that I have a box full of money under my arm. Bye. And
right,
left.
Right.
But that's what that was. Anyway, Kanan steps off the ramp and checks in with his Padawan.
Yep.
And he's like, so, you went for a little spin, yeah,
yeah,
in my car. And Ezra's like, yeah, I needed to figure some stuff out. And he says,
I used to be like Hondo, out for myself and alone. But that's not who I am anymore.
You're on a different path now.
And I have you guys.
Aww.
I know, it's so sweet. Nothing horrible could possibly happen. But not this episode. This episode is done. This episode ended beautifully. Everybody got what they wanted. We know that Hondo Onaka is free and loose and financially secure in the galaxy somewhere. And that makes me happy. He has new enemies, but that makes me happy.
I love this episode so much.
It was so good. It was so refreshing. I know.
I know. And the next episode is going to be equally... anyway, so... Do you remember what happened in the next episode?
Hold on, I'm pulling it up. Leave me alone. And now I'm scrolling. There's a lot. No, I don't remember what next episode is. I have to go through the whole thing. God damn it. This is a really long spreadsheet.
Wings of the Master.
Wings of the Master, right. Isn't this the one where we definitely get incontrovertible evidence that Hera is the best pilot in the galaxy far, far away?
How is that possible, Steph? She's a girl.
She's a girl. No, she fucking is the best.
Anyway, oh, yeah, she is. So absolutely.
Do we have anything else before we rush ahead, dear?
Nope.
Anything else? Season 2, Episode 6, Brothers of the Broken Horn?
Nope.
No? No? Okay. So then next time, we will be talking about Star Wars Rebels, Season 2, Episode 7, Wings of the Master. And here's the problem with having introduced Hondo Onaka. Now every Rebels episode that we get that doesn't have Hondo, I'm a little sad.
Right? But it was that way with Clone Wars, too. Like right. I'm like, is this going to be a Hondo episode? Blah, blah, blah. And the same could be said as well for Asajj Ventress. So, you know.
Right. Yeah. But it's just, that's just the way it is. I just fucking love Hondo. And so I'm going to miss him until I see him again. But that's the way it is with a lot of the characters in this. Like, if there was an episode with no Rex, I'd be upset, too. So.
We'll yeah.
Anyway, so then I guess that's it. We're done here.
We're done.
Is that I have nothing
Episode
else to cover.
Episode 150. We're done.
It feels so weird. Like I don't. You'd think 150 episodes in on this podcast, I would have like a more graceful way to exit, but I don't. Hey, do you want an outro?
Yeah, that's outro.
Yeah, that's outro. Okay, cool. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate that. We appreciate you. If you enjoyed the music at the top of the episode, you should. It's delightful. That was a gift to the show from a recording artist by the name of Chorlzy. You can find him on all the social medias as at Chorlzy. If you would like to hang out with us in between episodes, and why wouldn't you? We obviously welcome all interactions and don't have any problems. We're certainly not super grumpy bitches about, oh my god. Anyway, no, if you want to hang out with us,
we're a bunch of cunts. Yeah.
If you want to hang out with us and not make really inappropriate comments at us, you can. We are on all of the social media, Facebook, Instagram, the artist formerly known as Twitter, and TikTok for as long as the U.S. government allows it to exist in this country, as at Darkside Divas.
Oh, and by the way, if you haven't already done so, subscribe to our podcast. Did you know we're now on Amazon/Audible? We are now. I thought Anchor would do that automatically for us. Apparently not anymore. So thanks, Anchor, for that. But anyway, we fixed it. But we're available pretty much in most of the major podcast platforms. Subscribe. Leave a review. Mm-hmm. Tell your mama. Tell your friends. Tell your family about us.
Maybe don't tell your mama.
Yeah, maybe not. Also, we have a swag store, redbubble.com/officialdivas. You can go there to buy t-shirts, stickers, and other stuff with our show logos and the funny shit that we say. We have a YouTube channel, Darkside Divas. Go subscribe there. We do stuff there all the time. Not lately, because March has been fucking nuts, and that's the way it is. But we will soon. And then, last but certainly not least, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/divaspodcast. For $5 a month, you can get access to special content, unedited versions of video versions of our shows. Plus, we do live recordings you can participate in, and access to the best Discord community in the fucking world and galaxy.
That's true. It's true.
And that's it.
The fucking best. Okay, that's it.
That's it.
Then we say goodbye. Goodbye.
All right, bye.
We love you.